Mentioning the Torah real quickly, what are the two reasons that the Torah gives for keeping Shabbat?
Creation.
To remember that God created the world in 6 days, rested on the seventh. And the second one, which sounds a little weirder,
Exodus.
The Exodus. What does the Exodus have to do with keeping Shabbos? The fact that we were redeemed from Egypt. Like, what does that have to do with anything? So, like, so therefore, keep Shabbos because your ancestors were slaves and they were redeemed. What did we say the connection was?
It's that it was the first time that God showed that he's not just a God of creation. He's a God that sustains existence for us.
Right, and what does that have to do with the Exodus?
Because he performed miracles for us. So that was like the first time that he really...
Yeah, that was the first time you saw God intervening in history. Can anyone think of any other time in the Bible where God got involved in some people's historical, you know, situation? Like they were crying out for help. They were being oppressed and persecuted as slaves. And then God came to the rescue. That's an indication that what? That God didn't just create the world. We don't just believe in a God of creation, but also in a God of?
Mercy.
Intervention.
It shows mercy. But God could be merciful also and decide for whatever philosophical reasons he wants to stay out of the picture. Now, don't ask me why God gets involved in some things and doesn't get involved in others. Why was he there for our ancestors, you know, and not on October 7th? I don't know. But we still believe, and that's a fundamental principle of Jewish belief, that God is intervening. And what's the Kabbalistic twist on this? There's a little Kabbalah on this. Kabbalists go to town in saying what? And it's in our prayers. If you remember, how many blessings are there leading up to the Shema? How many blessings are there every morning when leading up to the Shema? There's three surrounding, two leading up and one following. The first of the two preceding blessings, Shema, God of as our creator. What do we say in that blessing every day? HaMechadesh B'tuvo. God renews in his goodness. Ma'aseh B'reishit. The work of creation. What does that mean, God renews the work of creation? God created the world 5,700 and blah, blah, blah years ago. You can reconcile the 14 billion. We'll talk about that another time. And then, he took off. Or not. What do we believe? What's God's involvement vis-a-vis the world? What do we believe, Kabbalistically speaking, of Hashem's involvement in the world?
There's a continual creation.
There's a continual that the moment God decides to stop paying attention to us and the world reverts back to its primordial state of nothingness. It's a fundamental belief in Kabbalah that God didn't just create, but he's constantly renewing. And that and Rabbi Jonathan Sacks of Blessed Memory distinguished, like, if you, Tom, somehow created this incredible water container, so you create it and you put it down and you can walk away and go on with your life and the container will continue to exist without your attention. Not so, because you're creating from a pre-existing matter. If you were to create from nothing, which is impossible for a human being to do, what do we call that when God creates from nothing?
Ex nihilo.
Ex nihilo, very good. In Hebrew, it's called yesh me'ayin. Yesh means there is, me'ayin from nothing. God creates something from nothing. That kind of creation requires constant input. In order for it to continue to exist, it has to be sustained. It has to be pumped with God's spiritual energy, or else it reverts back to Tohu Vavohu, the name of my first band. I mentioned this. What is Tohu Vavohu? Chaos, void, and nothingness. Great name for a band. That's the way the world was before it was created, according to the Torah, Tohu Vavohu. The world becomes Tohu Vavohu if God stops paying attention to it. And that's another way for the Mekubalim to teach that Hashem didn't just create, set the world on automatic timer, and like take off. He's involved. Or else who are you praying to when you pray? Is he listening? Just because you don't get the answer we always want doesn't mean he's not listening, he's not paying attention. Okay, so these are basic themes. Now, to bring these themes alive, what do we have? Shabbat. And we've got certain positive things, that's what we're going to run through tonight and next week. And then we have certain negative things. What are the negative things called, the things we don't do on Shabbos?
Melachot.
They're called melachot, 39 activities. We'll get to them not next week, but the week after, please God. And I'm going to try to give you a really good working definition. So you're not going to be turned off the next time you try to refrain from one of these 39 acts of work. It's going to make sense. It may not be always so convenient. It may not be, it might make you feel even more lonely on Shabbos. And Shabbos is supposed to make you feel more communally connected. But for a single person, it could feel very lonely going back to your apartment and not being able to do anything. But what's the point? Why are we doing this? Why are we pulling back? By the way, you kind of know the answer a little to this. What is the significance in refraining from engaging in these 39, what kind of activities are these 39 activities? They're not just
labor.
They're involved with labor, but they're creative. Why are you pulling back from 39 creative activities? You're turning the world back to God. You're basically shining a spotlight back on the true and ultimate creative force, which I said last week becomes incredibly important when technology continues to march on and we kind of make ourselves into gods. We don't need God anymore. We're very self-sufficient, aren't we? Well, I guess COVID reminded us maybe we're not that way 100%, but we feel that way when you're able to manipulate more and more in the world. And that's a good thing. The Kabbalists talk about the way the world's going to be before the Mashiach comes, more and more technologically advanced. More and more confused also, philosophically. And those two things are happening today, big time. But we pull back, we shine a light on God, but what do we fill that void with? Okay, so now we're not doing anything on Shabbos. What are we doing? So I want to run through a Shabbos with you. You guys ready? We're going to do a crash course on Shabbos. You know a lot of this stuff. You may not know it all, but I want to draw... When does Shabbos actually start?
An hour before sundown.
Technically, 18 minutes before. Okay, but when does it really start, guys?
Thursday night.
Thursday night when? What are you doing Thursday night or Friday?
Getting ready.
What are you doing to get ready?
Cooking.
You're cooking. Cook in advance of Shabbat. Come, Nava. Join. You're cooking in advance of Shabbat. You're doing that before Shabbos. What else are you doing before Shabbos?
Maybe getting a haircut.
Maybe you're getting a haircut. Maybe you're taking a shower finally. Maybe you're cleaning your place up. It's a mess.
It's a mess.
Clothing together. What is all this stuff called?
Erev.
What's Erev? The before, the eve of. Remember what I said last week in the name of Rabbi Soloveitchik, that we were successful in bringing Shabbos from Europe to America, but we were not successful in bringing
Erev Shabbos.
Israel, they do. Israel does a sense because they don't work Fridays. And it's hard. That's why I suggested last week, what should you do if you run in 2 seconds before Shabbos like I do? I'm not proud of it. I'm just telling you. What should you do?
Set up before.
When? Thursday night. Set up Wednesday night. Get ready for Shabbos. Earlier in the week is the better. You don't have to, because what happens psychologically? And you want Shabbos ready when it comes. What is that called? That's called Kavod Shabbos. The things you do in advance of Shabbos are called Kavod Shabbos. The things you do on Shabbos to feel the beauty are called Oneg. You ever been invited to an Oneg? What's an Oneg? The word Oneg means to rejoice. And it implies you're rejoicing in Shabbos itself, when Shabbos is there. Kavod, why is it showing honor to Shabbos when it's not even Shabbos? So here's my favorite analogy. You're expecting the President of the United States to your home at 7 p.m. Joe Biden is expected in your home. Maddie, what do you do?
Lock the
door. Do you do? What? What? I'm waiting for a funny joke. No, what's that? Stop. All right. Lock the doors, get a nurse. All right, what else? What? No, you tell me, what do you do? What are you going
to
do? Are you going to prepare?
I'd probably definitely clean.
You would clean. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's say you didn't clean, and there's a doorbell, the Secret Service. They come in. They want to check out the house before they let the president into your home, make sure there are no bombs or anything, it's not bugged, and the place is a mess, and you're running around, cleaning up. What is that to the president?
Dishonor.
Insult.
That's an insult to the president, because what? Sure, why? It's the president of the United States, and you're cleaning at 7, did you not know he was showing up at 7? Who is coming to your house Friday night?
Yes.
Who's coming?
Angels.
The Shabbos Queen.
The Shabbos Queen. The presence of Shabbat is coming into your home at a certain time. And what are you doing when the queen is there, waiting at the door? waiting to be come into your home, and what does the queen want to see? Lit candles, a set table, a house that's been prepared, food that's been cooked. And what are you doing? You're running around like a chicken without, like, you're just. Now, I had this in my home growing up, Forest Hills, Queens. I hated my home on Fridays because it was just not a pleasant place to be on Fridays. My mother, blessed memory, ran our home like it was a museum, even on Tuesdays. So you can imagine what Shabbos was like. And everything had to, and she was an amazing cook, and she wanted the, and it was just like, it was a little bit chaotic, and it was just not. She would then light the candles, and then like this crazy transition, a very abrupt transition took place from my mother is a crazy woman to my mother is this very calm, tranquil, almost saint-like figure on Friday night. And it was something I will never forget. It was like an incredibly powerful shift, just like that. Because once Shabbos started, there was nothing left you could do. That was it. Whatever you did, you did. Whatever you didn't do, it's too late. It's too late. It's a great feeling, by the way. Too late. You know? And it's too late. It's just, it's Shabbos now. So it's showing honor if you prepare. And I think I mentioned last week, I had, like, as a kid, I had, like, you know, the special Shabbos frames for my glasses. Shabbos socks, I had a special Shabbos yarmulke and Shabbos coat. And it was easier when you're a kid because you're not wearing normal clothing during the week. Everything is like sweats, and I was like very athletic as a kid, so everything was like a tank top and a this and a that. I was always t-shirts. So Shabbos felt really different. Challenge today is if you dress up for work and you come home and you want, so how do you make it different? How do you make it different? My dad used to go into the other room and put on a different tie. He'd come home very close to Shabbat. But he did everything he had to do before. And he would then go up and make a little change. And then he'd be ready. That's it. You can do something, make it a little different. Remember my mother bought him one of these like velvet jackets. It was like a smoking jacket, not that he smoked. It was like, you know, it was like a little Shabbat. Like, you know, you'd be holding like a, you know, you imagine someone like holding cognac and like smoking a cigar, you know, like
velvet.
It was velvet. It was like a velvet jacket with like a robe.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, well,
it just, it was so cool. It was such a cool, and it was like, it was a little weird, you know, and I remember a Rabbi Riskin, he should live and be well, not Hasidic. It's like a modern Orthodox rabbi. And I remember him coming to my home. He spent the Shabbat here in New York and we hosted him. He's a big rabbi in Israel. And he was the founder of Lincoln Square Synagogue here and started the city of Efrat, which is 20,000 strong now. He's a huge rabbi. And he put on a bekesha. Bekesha is like Hasidish. I was like, Rabbi, when did you become a Hasid? He said, Shabbos. I got a little Hasidic on Shabbos. He wanted to wear something different, so it's like a longer coat, you know? Some people might put on a hat. They don't wear it during the week. They'll wear it on... I'm not in the hat, into the hat thing. But I like a different yarmulke, a different, there's something to shake it up. Because the more you prepare something, the more that thing is going to feel like. So take a look at the source on the bottom. Take a look actually on page 2 on the bottom. There are four terms, 2 biblical and 2 rabbinic. I want you guys to know this. Your fellows, this is really important to know. There are 4 dimensions. This is from Maimonides. Page 2, last paragraph. You guys with me? There are 4 dimensions. Henry, why don't you read this? There are 4 dimensions.
There are 4 dimensions to the observance of the Sabbath, 2 originating in the Torah, and 2 originating in the words of our sages, which are given exposition by the prophets. The 2 dimensions originating in the Torah are the commandments, remember the Sabbath day, and observe the Sabbath.
I'm sorry, I cut off the bottom. It's my bad. The 2 dimensions given exposition of the prophets are honor and pleasure. That's what it says on the bottom. So there's 2 biblical words and 2, they're not really, they're rabbinic, but they're expressed in the prophets. You guys know what the prophets are? What are the prophets, guys?
Joshua.
Is the prophets written law or oral law?
Written,
but not in the 5 books of Moses. It's the prophets that follow the 5 books of Moses, like Joshua, Ezekiel, and so on and so forth, right? So there's mention there, and the rabbis derive from the prophets, but it has rabbinic level. Because you can only derive halakha, biblical law, from the Torah, the five books. You can't derive biblical law from the prophets. Lots of reasons for that. Okay? Mainly because Moses' level of prophecy was superior to the other prophets, and we have a more of a clarity on what the halakha is from the five books than we do from the prophets. The prophets, like Joshua, Ezekiel, Isaiah, they would have to fall into some kind of unconscious dream state in order to receive prophecy. Moses was totally lucid, we believe, when he sees prophecy for the five books. So we derive halakha from there. So what are the two things that are biblical? Zachor. Has anyone ever heard that word? Like at a Yom HaShoah event, at a like Holocaust memorial event. What does the word zachor mean? To remember. And what's shamor? What is the English there? It says observe or guard. What is remember versus guard referred to? Remember is the positive or negative, and guard is the negative or positive of Shabbos.
Guard is positive.
Start with remember. What's remember?
Positive.
Positive. What's the observe or safeguard or guard? What does guard sound like? Guard the Sabbath. From what? From it being violated. That's the negative stuff. 39 acts of work all fall under that one word. Shamor, shmirah, to guard. Zachor is a positive. We're going to go through all the zachors tonight, but that's all on the biblical level. Where's the rabbinic? Kavod and oneg. What's oneg again? Oneg is the stuff you do on Shabbos to rejoice. Joyous. That's of the rabbinic level. And kavod Shabbos are the things you do on the rabbinic level in advance of Shabbat, because what's the word kavod actually mean?
Respect.
Respect. How is showing respect things you do before Shabbos? Come on, guys. Come on, you fall asleep, man. What's that?
When Biden comes to town.
When Biden comes to town, you want to do stuff before to show, right? So let's do it again. What's Zachor? Biblical or rabbinic?
Biblical.
Biblical, referring to?
Positive.
Positive mitzvot having to do with Shabbat. That are on what level? What's that? On the biblical level. It actually refers to Kiddush and Havdalah. We're going to get to them soon. What's Shamor?
Guard.
Referring to what?
Negative
things. What are we talking about there? The 39 categories of work. Good. Give me the two rabbinic categories. One is called help. Oneg? What's Oneg mean?
Rejoicing,
referring to? Rabbinic things you do to rejoice in Shabbat. We're going to go through them in a minute. And then kavod is what?
Preps.
Good. Rabbinic preps. Okay, good. Very good. You guys, you have that structure?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Okay, very important. So let's go. Look at page 3. Kavod Shabbat. I'm going to fly through this a little. What is meant by honor? This is from Maimonides. This refers to our sage's statement that it's a mitzvah of a person to wash his face, his hands, and his feet in hot water on Friday in honor of the Sabbath. Wrap himself in tzitzit, sit with respect, waiting to receive Shabbat, as one goes out to greet a king. The sages of former generations would gather their students together on Friday, wrap themselves in fine robes, and say, come, let us go greet the Sabbath. Does anybody know what ritual we do today in modernity? Reflecting on that. No. What do we do in synagogue to this day? That's reminiscent of the sages going out and gathering their students, wrapping themselves in fine robes and saying, come, let's go out to greet. And this, the Kabbalists of Tzfat, Kabbalat Shabbat. The Kabbalat Shabbat service, it was based on this. This is a line, Maimonides lived in the 1000s. He's quoting from the Talmud, which is 2,000 years ago. We have this tradition going back 2,000 years ago. The Kabbalists in the 16th century embellished on this by actually going out into the fields, wearing white, and greeting the Shabbos queen with singing. Who wrote L'cha Dodi, that beautiful song? His name is embedded in the prayer. You can actually see it. The first letter of each stanza spells out his name.
Really?
Shlomo Alkabitz. Only the first name. Shlomo Halevi. That's what? Shamor v'zachar v'dibar, Shamor, Shin. Mikdash Melech Mem. It's spelled out in there. It's kind of cool. He lived in the 16th century in Tzfat. He was a great Kabbalist. There was an explosion of Kabbalah in Sfat in the 16th century, mostly revolving around one man, the Arizal, Rabbi Isaac Luria. And he basically revealed a tremendous amount. Didn't make it up. The Kabbalah is as old as the Torah. We've spoken about this. But a lot of it got revealed specifically in this one area. That's why when you go to Tzfat, it's got this very spiritual vibe. It's still there. People, you talked about going to the mikveh. It's the coldest mikveh in the world I've ever been in. Has anyone been to the Ariz mikveh in Tzfat? It's freezing. They say if you go into the Ariz mikveh, you won't die before doing tshuva, returning to God. Yeah, because it's cold. Okay, anyway, and they said Ari went into that mikveh every day. He was an extremely holy, holy man. Chabad follows the Nusach Ari in their prayers. But he preceded the Hasidic movement. He lived before the Baal Shem Tov, who started the Hasidic movement. We're talking about the 1500s now. Okay, anyway, so this is all where this is coming from, like your Friday night service. Among the ways of honoring the Sabbath is wearing a clean garment. One Sabbath garment should not resemble your weekday. If you don't have a different garment, so, you know, pull the robe down to hang low. So no one should say that what you're wearing on Shabbos looks like the same as during the week. Also, don't eat a lot on Friday. Why? Friday afternoon, don't eat a lot. Why?
Because you want to enjoy.
Because you want to have, oh, I have more if you need. What do you want? You want to have an appetite. Does anybody know a Passover custom that's like that too? You're not supposed to eat what the day before Passover?
Matzah.
Why? Matzah. Bread you can eat. You shouldn't have matzah. Because why?
You're about to have it.
You want to have like a great experience the night of the Seder. So if you get too used to it or you fill yourself up, you're not going to enjoy the meal as much on Friday night. That doesn't mean you can't eat on Friday. Just don't eat so much. Don't sit down to like a big meal Friday afternoon. Next page. Prepare your table. Page 4. Even if it's to partake only of a small amount of food, prepare your table on Saturday. All right, fine. These are things you're doing in advance of Shabbos. Okay, that's called Kavod Shabbos. What about Oneg Shabbos? Ezo Oneg. Look on the bottom of page 4. What is meant by the Sabbath delight? This refers to our sage's statement that a person must prepare a particularly sumptuous dish. How many meals do you eat on Shabbos?
Three
meals. It's learned out from a verse in the Torah. We'll get to it in a minute. When do you eat these three meals?
Friday night
is one.
Lunch.
Lunch is two. And then?
Shalshudas.
When Shabbos ends really early, a lot of people are challenged with that third meal. But you try to eat something, at least the fruit or something. You're supposed to try to have three meals on Shabbat. Also, one of the other things we're going to do. So let's actually run through a Shabbos. Skip to page 6. I made this many, many years ago. We talked about, look at page 6, preparing for Shabbos. I wrote shave, bathe, dress, best dishes, beautifully set table. Do you guys buy anything to make your house, your home look a little nicer?
Flowers.
I love fresh flowers.
Or you give flowers to your wife. That's
yes, beautiful.
That a big thing for
it is a big thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. You want to buy some flowers?
I used to go to
Shabbos.
Yeah, you know, one of my teachers and mentors for Shabbos. You go on Fridays.
No.
It's cool seeing like big rabbis like shopping.
Oh.
You know, just like in shopping, just shopping. They're buying their wives food and stuff. I mean, for anybody, but it's classically in a home, you know, with a married couple. The kids and the classic, you know, kind of thing going on there. But it's a way of honoring your wife. It's also a way of honoring, like, shop, you know, the home. Just making it, doesn't have to be candles. The Talmud has all these stories of these very serious sages doing these little things, you know, Erev Shabbat to make things more special, you know. If I see I'm out of good booze, I'll replenish. That's very important. Just a little hint there for you guys.
If
you come to my home. Yeah?
Biblical commandment is monkey shoulder.
Monkey shoulder. I used to serve somebody monkey shoulder today. He's like, what is this? I said, for the price, it's good stuff. It's really, it's got a nice bottle also. All right, let's talk a little about Shabbos candles. Big misnomer. Who lights the Shabbos candles? Trick question.
Anyone, the house is responsible. So if a guy's.
Yeah, who's the house?
Like,
a home. So if a guy is single, he's responsible to
that. Very few people know this. Mm. Even in the Orthodox world, you go into a lot of people's homes, they're calling their mommies. And like, mommy, light for me. No, it doesn't work that way. The mitzvah of Shabbos candles pertains to where? Pertains to the home.
Home.
That you should be in a home that has light. Why is it important to be in a home that has light on Shabbat? So the Talmud gives two reasons. One is, if there's no home, it's gloomy. And you don't want a gloomy home on Shabbat. Oh yeah, Rabbi Lerner is meeting with some people, so I'm not insulted if you get up and have a meeting with the other rabbi. He's a rabbi from Israel, and he's going to be teaching you guys at 9 o'clock, so I'm going to finish soon. He's awesome. He's going to be teaching the faith and fun stuff. He's a great, great rabbi. He'll be coming in here in a few minutes. Can you tell Rabbi Lerner you should come in like 10 minutes or something?
Okay.
Cool, thank you. After your meeting, thanks. So how come traditionally it became very associated with women and feminine, and like being a female?
Isn't it a mitzvah for women?
No, it's a mitzvah for the home. But since the woman is associated with the home, it's not about Chabad. The Rebbe of Lubavitch popularized the idea of girls after the bat mitzvah starting to light candles. That was not a thing until the Rebbe made that a big thing. He actually took out, what's that?
A lot of the Chabad girls have a 3-year-old Shabbos lighting
point. Oh, yeah, a lot of people do that.
Oh,
yeah. Okay. Now, that might be also a Chabad thing. He was a brilliant idea. He was the one that started, you know, you look at the New York Times and the bottom is like Shabbos starts every Friday in the New York Times. That was his idea. Mm. He popularized Shabbos in a very beautiful way. Now, it's appropriate in your home, if there's a woman in the home, for the woman to light the candles, but it's not a woman's mitzvah. Why is it more the woman's thing if there's a choice between a man and a woman doing it?
Because man does the kaddish.
No.
So is it
the person?
She's the head of
the house.
What's that?
The
woman is referred to as the akeret habayit. Akeret habayit means the person who is ensuring the household, and it doesn't mean simply the physical apparatus of the household, although it could be referring to that too. But it's the home is associated. The word for Hebrew, in the Hebrew of bayit, is synonymous with isha. Isha is a woman, bayit is a home. Where is your home? It's your wife. They're one and the same. And it's a mitzvah pertaining to the home. So therefore, if there's a woman in the home, she should light the candles. But if there's no woman, there's still a mitzvah to have light in the home, specifically candles. Now here's the rub. What's the whole purpose of Shabbos candles? It's not purely ceremonial and ritualistic. It's to have what in your home?
To have light.
It's actually to have light. Why? Because the Talmud says if it's dark, it's gloomy, and you might trip over each other and somebody gets hurt.
Yeah,
and when it talks about Shalom Bayis, the Gemara says this, it's talking about people not bumping into each other or getting hurt because it's so dark. So in order to keep peace in the home, you have to have lights. So what's the problem? That's not the way we illuminate our homes anymore. How do we illuminate our homes? With a little candle in the dining room? No. We illuminate our homes with these things. Incandescent, fluorescent, what's the new bulbs we're using?
LEDs.
LEDs. Okay, use much less electricity. They're great. So here's what Rav Moshe Feinstein suggested, and I tell this to everyone, men and women who are lighting. Before you light the candle, take a look. Look at page 6 on the bottom. Here's a procedure. Turn off electric lights in the room where candles will be lit. You see where I'm reading? I wrote this. Turn them back on for the sake of Shabbos, then light your candles. Immediately following the lighting, place your hands over your eyes. Remove the hands from the eyes. Recite the following blessing. And when you say the bracha, keep in mind not only the candles that you just lit, but the bulb that you just turned on. Because that's the way you're illuminating your home. Now, so you'll say, well, so why don't I have to use the candle at all? Because the way the rabbis ordained the blessing, lahadlik ner shel Shabbat, ner is a candle. It's not a bulb. It's not electric. So we hit both. And I've been suggesting this to people for years, that when you light your candles, don't just keep in mind the actual candle you're lighting. Keep in mind whatever lights that are going to be on for the duration of Shabbat. Turn them off for the sake of Shabbos, and then turn them on for the sake of Shabbos, and then go light your candle. And when you make the bracha over the candle after you lit it, keep in mind both the regular and the candle. Yeah, question.
So sometimes I'll light the candles, and then I'll use the 18 minutes right. afterwards.
Right.
What is the concept of not accepting Shabbat?
So you can do that. The classic example of that is when you're in Jerusalem. And you're not, it's a long schlep to the Kotel. And you want to pray at the Kotel Friday night. So you want to get in a cab, but you want to light candles. And you're supposed to light candles where you're sleeping, where you're living. So what you could do is you could accept Shabbat in, you light the candle and you purposely, intentionally, cognitively do not accept Shabbos. You're just lighting the candle, you're fulfilling that mitzvah. But as you're doing it, you're keeping in mind that I'm not accepting Shabbos. I'm still, now you can only do this before Shabbos actually starts, before the time. And then you can hop in a cab and or do whatever you want, drive, whatever it is, until Shabbat actually starts. Because, but if you don't have that in mind, you basically accepted Shabbos. Because that's the act that we use to bring Shabbat in. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Josh.
For a man, isn't it when you accept Shabbat during, like, how do
you... Yes.
Yeah.
You do. A man is accepting Shabbos in shul, praying. A woman is accepting Shabbos with the candles. However, a man, there's still a mitzvah to light the Shabbat candles in your home. There's still a mitzvah for there to be a lit candle in your home. So when a man lights, you're not really accepting Shabbos. You accept Shabbos. Now you could, if you keep in mind, I'm not going to pray tonight, I'm going to use this. You could probably do that. But typically, the man is accepting Shabbos with the Friday night prayers, whether you're going to shul or not. It's not about shul, it's really about the prayer. There's a debate. Some say Lachadodi is doing it. Some say it's Mizmor Shirli Yom HaShabbos, the psalm in honor of Shabbat. Mizmor Shirli. That psalm is when a man typically accepts Shabbos in.
Then if you're not accepting Shabbat, don't you say the bracha and then light?
Yeah, so this is a little complicated.
I don't want to,
yeah. Usually, when you make a bracha before a mitzvah, what do you do first? Bracha or mitzvah? Think about it for a minute. First you do the bracha, then the mitzvah. Give me some examples of that.
Putting up a mezuzah.
Putting up a mezuzah. First you make the blessing, then you stick the mezuzah. Lulav and etrog. Make the bracha, then shake the lulav and etrog. What else? Hey, welcome. What other examples? Yeah, all that stuff. So what's the problem with lighting candles for Shabbos? Once you make the bracha, you're bringing in Shabbos, and then you can't light the candle anymore. Welcome, Rabbi Lerner. You can't light the candle anymore. You follow? Does that make sense? Because you've accepted Shabbos. Now it's Shabbos. What's one of the 39 acts of work that we don't do on Shabbat?
Light a flame.
We don't light a flame. So what do we do? You hear the trick? Do you see the procedure? That's where the covering of your eyes. See if you can cop this. That's the covering of your eyes.
Just to hold on.
Because what's the mitzvah really? Is it in the lighting or the benefit from the light?
Benefit.
It's from the benefit of the light. And as long as you haven't seen the light, you haven't seen the light.
But you have
then,
seen the light.
No, you haven't.
Okay, well, you really have seen it.
Because you
ignited it.
But.
And then when you turn away.
Turn them back for the sake. Light the candles. But you light the candle and you do this. Yeah, that's a good question. But you're really looking at the candle to bring in Shabbos. When you're lighting it with a match, you're not doing that. You're just lighting the candle. You're not doing that for the intention to bring in Shabbos. The focus and the intention is very, very important to the actual mitzvah. You know, any other Shabbos candle lighting, Rabbi Lerner, come. We're gonna. What's that? What time do you have to leave?
I have to drive to
Keene.
I don't want to
go
too late.
Okay. Tell me what's your timetable?
5 minutes ago, I was supposed to start.
No, I know that. What's your timetable for leaving here?
10 o'clock.
Okay. So I'm going to give everyone a 3-minute break. Is that okay with your permission? 3-minute break. I'm telling you guys, want to stay for this? This is Rabbi Yitzchak Lerner, who's in from Jerusalem. Say hi to Rabbi Lerner.
Hi.
Welcome. I'm sorry?
You have Durim for everybody?
I have prayer books. I can give them out.
Can you?
I can do that.
Perfect.
We have that capability. But you're teaching about faith, are you not?
Yeah.
Good.
The book, the prayer book, has something to do with it.
For faith?
Yeah.
Who would have thought? Who would have thought? Okay, good. All right, guys, take a 3-minute break. Please come back. Listen to the great Rabbi Lerner. I will grade your, please God, your... Oh, by the way, this Shabbat, I want to mention before you go that Adam El-Kayim is doing a siyum at the end of the service on Saturday morning. So please be there. Show
what
your...
What is a siyum?
Siyum, he is celebrating the completion of a tractate of Talmud that he's been studying for quite a while.
Wow.
Yeah, it's taken him a long time.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's great.
Yeah. And I'll be speaking Friday night and Shabbat day. If anybody wants to join for the dinner, we're having a dinner with a comedian. Yeah. Her name is, I don't know, it's on the fly, but she's good.
Are you allowed to laugh?
Something
Why shouldn't you laugh? You gotta laugh.
We have to laugh, even if the joke's